Canto 1, Chapter 13. Dhritarashtra quits home. Sutta said, Vidura, travelling to the different places of pilgrimage, had received knowledge about the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya. By that knowledge, sufficiently being acquainted with everything to be known, he returned to the city of Hastinapura. After all the questions Vidura had asked Maitreya in his presence, an undivided devotion unto Govinda had grown in him, so that he refrained from further questioning. Seeing him arrive in Hastinapura, O Brahmins, Yudhishthira and his younger brothers Dhritarashtra, Satyaki and Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Drupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, other wives of the family members of the Pandavas and other ladies with their sons, all welcomed him. Like awakened from death, they approached him in great delight to receive him with all respect, with embraces and obeisances. In their love for him, they emotionally shed tears because of the experienced anxiety and grief about the separation. King Yudhishthira offered him a seat and arranged a reception. After he had eaten, had rested, and was seated comfortably, the king humbly bowed down to address him in front of everybody. Yudhishthira said, Do you remember how we, brought up under the wings of your care, together with our mother, were delivered from various calamities like poisoning and arson? By which means did you maintain your livelihood as you travelled the surface of the earth, and in which holy places of pilgrimage have you been of service here on this planet? Devotees, like your goodness, are converted into holy places themselves, O powerful one, and within your heart, the one who carries the club, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Dear uncle, can you tell us what you saw or heard about our friends and well-wishers? Are the descendants of Yadu, so wrapped in their service unto Krishna, all happy where they are living? Thus being questioned by the king, he, discussing one subject after the other, properly described all he had experienced, but he did not mention the destruction of the dynasty. Because he did not want to upset them, he was as graceful not to speak about this in fact so unpalatable and unbearable aspect of mankind's behavior. The sage, who was treated like a god, thereupon resided for a few days with them, so that he could mean something to his oldest brother and everybody would be happy. Because of a curse of Manduka Muni, Vidura, for the time of 100 years, had to play the part of a Shudra. During that time, it was Aryama who, in his place, administered punishment as was suitable for the sinful ones. Yudhishthira had seen that there was a grandson in the dynasty fit for ruling the kingdom he had retrieved, and enjoyed, together with his politically gifted brothers, a life of great wealth. But the insurmountable and imperceptible time surpasses inimitably those who are inattentive and engrossed in the mind of attachment to family affairs. Vidura, well aware of this, said to Dhritarashtra, O king, dear brother, please withdraw yourself without delay. Just see how fear is ruling your life. In this material world, O master, there is no help from anyone or anything to escape this fear, because that fear concerns the Supreme Lord, who approaches us all in the form of eternal time. Inevitably, overtaken by the pull of time, a person must, just like that, give up this life, as dear as it is to everyone, not to mention the wealth and such he has acquired. With your father, brother, well-wishers and sons all dead, with your life expended and your body decrepit, you live in another man's home. You have been blind since you were born. your hearing is not so good anymore. Your memory fails, and recently your teeth loosened. Your liver gives you trouble, and you are loudly coughing up mucus. Alas, how powerful the living being's attachment to life is! It is that strong that it makes you, just like a household dog, eat the remnants of the food left over by Bhima. How can you subsist on the grace of those whom you tried to burn and poison and whose wife you have insulted while usurping their kingdom? Whether you like it or not, you will, however much you value your life, have to face the fact that this miserly body will dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Someone is courageous and wise when he, no longer being able to use his body properly, unconcerned and free from all obligations, leaves for an unknown destination. Anyone who, by his own understanding or having learned it from others, arrives at consciousness in resignation of the world and leaves his home with the Lord installed in his heart, is certainly a first-class human being. Therefore, please leave for the north without letting your relatives know, for hereafter soon the time will arrive that diminishes many of the qualities of man. Having heard this, the old king of the Ajamida family, in respect of the wisdom of his younger brother Vidura, determined broke with the strong family ties and left in the direction that was set for the path of liberation. As he left, the chaste and worthy daughter of King Subala, Gandhari, followed her husband to the Himalayas, the place that is the delight of those who took up the staff of renunciation, like they were fighters accepting a justified beating. Returning to the palace, he who considered no one his enemy, Yudhishthira, wanted to pay his respects to the elderly after he had worshipped the demigods with oblations and offered obeisances and gifts of grains, land, cows and gold to the Brahmins. But he could not find his two uncles or Aunt Gandhari. Anxiously he turned to Sanjaya, the son of Gavalgana, and said to him, "Where is our old blind uncle? Where is my well-wisher Vidura and mother Gandhari, who was grieving over losing her offspring? Has the old king, having lost his sons, distressed with a mind full of doubt about my ingratitude and offences, drowned himself together with his wife in the Ganges? After the downfall of my father King Pandu, they were the well-wishers who protected all of us, still being small children. Where have my uncles gone from here?" Sutta said, "Sanjaya, who, being worried, out of love for his master, could not find him, was upset about the separation and could, being too aggrieved, not speak a word in reply. Thinking about the feet of his master, he with his hands wiped the tears from his face. He restrained himself and replied King Yudhishthira. Sanjaya said, "I do not know what your uncles or Gandhari had in mind, O descendant of the Kuru dynasty. O great king, these great souls have fooled me." That very moment, the Supreme Personality Narada arrived there with his musical instrument. Yudhishthira and his younger brothers got up from their seats to welcome him properly by offering him their obeisances. The king thereupon said, "O Supreme One, I do not know in which direction my uncles and ascetic aunt, who is most aggrieved about the loss of her sons, have left. Like a captain on a ship in the great ocean, you are the Lord to guide us to the other side." Thus being addressed, the Divine Personality Narada, the greatest among the sages, said, "O King, never lament for whatever reason, for the universe is controlled by the Supreme Lord. All living beings and their leaders perform their ceremonies in order to be protected. He is the one who brings everybody together and also disperses them again. The way a cow is tied by a rope through the nose, One the same way is tied by the hints and precepts of the Veda to follow the demands of the Supreme One. The way in this world playthings at will are brought together and separated again, it also happens to the people who, subjected to the game of the Lord, are brought together and separated again. Whether one considers persons eternal or temporal, or else as both, or as neither of both, they never, under any circumstance, should constitute a reason for lamentation. One is only that way because one got emotionally involved or has lost one's mind. Therefore, O King, give up the anxiety you feel from lacking in self-knowledge. Do not longer think how these helpless poor creatures would be able to survive without you. How is this body, which is made out of the five elements and is controlled by time, by materially motivated action, and by the modes of nature, capable of protecting others when it is just as well bitten by that snake? One living being is the livelihood of another. Those who have no hands are at the mercy of the ones who do have hands. Living beings without limbs are at the mercy of the four-legged ones. The weaker ones are at the mercy of the stronger ones. Look therefore only for him, this supreme personality, who by the power of illusion appears as a diversity. He, O King, is the one soul of the self-realization of all souls, who manifests himself both inside of them and outside of them. He, the Father of all creation, the Supreme Lord, has now, O great King, descended in this world, in the form of time, in order to eliminate everyone inimical to the enlightened souls. The Lord, on their behalf, did what had to be done and is now awaiting the rest. You, Pandavas, the same way, must wait and see for as long as he is present in this world. Dhritarashtra, his brother Vidura, and his wife Gandhari have departed for the southern side of the Himalayas, where the sages have their refuge. The place is known as Saptashrota, because the river of heaven sprouts there and, to the satisfaction of the seven different sages, divides herself into the seven currents we know as her branches. By bathing regularly there, sacrificing in the fire according to the regulative principles, and fasting on drinking water only, Dhritarashtra has completely subdued his mind and senses and is thus free from begging for food in his family dependents. With the help of sitting postures, breath control, and turning one's mind inward away from the six senses, one can, absorbed in the Lord, conquer the contaminations of passion, goodness, and ignorance. By allowing a self to merge with the wisdom, and the wisdom to merge with the pure witnessing, he has united himself with the Absolute, the foundation of pure existence, the same way the air within a pot merges with the space outside of it. When he, no longer hindered in renouncing all his duties, sits down concentrated, without moving a limb, his senses and mind, because of his breaking with the effects of the operating modes of nature, will no longer be fed and come to a full stop. I expect that he will quit his body 5 days from now, O King, and let it turn into ashes. While she, outside, observes the body of her husband mystically catching fire along with his cottage, his chaste wife, in full awareness, will follow him in the blaze. Vidura, witnessing that wonderful incident, O son of the Kuru dynasty, will, with mixed feelings of delight and grief, then leave that place for the sake of visiting holy places. After Narada thus had addressed the king, he, together with his stringed instrument, rose up into heaven. Yudhishthira, taking his instructions to heart, thereupon gave up all his lamentation.